Hey, welcome. Oh, okay. You're not used to anybody wanting you? Okay, but welcome. Nice to have you here today. Great. I have a couple of housekeeping items that I just want to get cleared up before we talk a little bit about the message this morning. We have baptism this morning, but you look on that back table. This is really important. We have a card there, a certificate for the person being baptized, and a gift. Please don't leave without signing that card, okay? All right? Make sure you take a moment and put a Bible verse or a blessing or your signature just to leave that as a memento for the person on a day. How many of you have been baptized here and had that card? Like, look at the hands going up. Yeah, and you've had that memento to take home and to be reminded, right, of, you know, what you've been blessed with here. So, you know, pass that on, okay? Move it forward. Also, I want to introduce you to a brand new author today, Leslie McEachran. You know, yeah, I know. Leslie just released a book entitled These Quiet Moments, A Collection of Selected Verse. And here's the first line in the ad on the Facebook website and Amazon and all those other places. It's a collection of poems that explore the deepest meditations of a heart reaching for more of God. Isn't that beautiful? And Leslie is part of our life group, and I just know you're going to be richly, richly blessed by her insights and her words and be drawn closer to the Lord through that. And I think we're going to hear more about, you're going to have a party and everything, right, in my understanding. So, yeah, we're going to hear more about that. But congratulations. I think that's a huge milestone to, you know, publish your first book. So that's great. Wonderful. Thank you. Wow, and we'll end up putting that eventually up on our resource page on our own website. We just like celebrating the people that contribute to resources that help bless us and grow us deeper into our faith in Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm going to take a few moments before I invite Jason to come up, and we're going to continue our series, Prepare for Impact, you know, how to build faith in a culture of conflict, right? And today we're going to handle a really easy topic, truth. Okay? Really easy topic, you know? So here's how we're going to manage it. But I'm going to read a passage out of Proverbs. 23:23 is the passage. And this is what this passage in Proverbs says as we use it to kind of launch what we're talking about today. Get the truth and never sell it. Think about that. Get the truth, never sell it. In fact, you never give it away, never trade it, never minimize it. You know, if there's anything there's nothing more valuable than truth. You think you can sell it or whatever, but here is wisdom literature from a wise sage passing on really important information to young people or a son or a daughter. That's the way Proverbs is set up, that it's this transference of wisdom. I've lived these years. I've seen what I've seen. I understand what I know. And this is really important for you to understand and to take away and to impart into your life. The main passage in all of Proverbs is wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. In other words, no matter what, if you want to be wise, if you want to live this life in the very best possible way you can, if you want to live with it, live life in a way that, you know, maximizes the very best that life has to offer, you cannot do it without loving God, but having a fear of God, acknowledging God, recognizing that God is the primary importance in your life. And here the writer says, get the truth, never sell it, never get rid of it. Also, because of that, you'll get wisdom, discipline, good judgment. This is what truth gives us. This is what truth imparts into our lives. This is why it's so important for us to seek the truth. And frankly, probably one of the most volatile and most difficult things culturally today is to discern the truth, isn't it? Truth is such a fluid, individual, subjective thing nowadays. And it's so hard. But the Bible is constantly encouraging us to seek truth, to find it, to live in it, to embody it, to understand it, to continue to grow in it. There's just something about truth that sort of sets us free. We heard Jesus say that. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And that's what gives rise to passages like this, that when we seek the fear of the Lord, that we are pursuing truth. We cannot worship God without truth being part of the mix. We can't ignore it. It's, you know, an important part of what it is, you know? So, let me kind of pivot for just a second on something and how we manage truth culturally. Talk a little bit about this and maybe give you some examples. Truth culturally is often treated, and this comes out of moral philosophy, okay? If you study moral philosophy at all, you're going to learn the categories that they talk about. But in our culture, we treat truth as either instrumental or intrinsic. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Fundamental difference between intrinsic and instrumental value is that intrinsic value has value and truth in and of itself, like it's built into that object or that category. Instrumental value is something that has value for the end results that we get from it. Okay, we're going to explain it. Like education, for instance, has intrinsic value. Education by itself is intrinsically valuable. How many parents here have had kids say, "Why do I need to learn this?" And you're trying to explain, right? And you're trying to explain, well, someday you're going to get a job. And, you know, have you ever just said to your kids, "You know what? This has intrinsic value to your entire life." Isn't going to convince them at all, right? But even as adults, we know that education has intrinsic value for our well-being, for our growth, for our intellectual stimulation, for even physical well-being and the way we connect with society and all that kind of stuff. Education intrinsically has value. Okay, a tool has instrumental value depending on what we want to accomplish with that particular tool. We can leave the tool aside. It's not intrinsically valuable other than it's a tool. Okay, here's another illustration. Hopefully this will bring this to bear. Do you realize that the Bible says that every human is intrinsically valuable? Every human. Okay, for instance, there are some arguments. Let's get into the deep weeds. Let's talk about abortion. Okay, there are people who say that abortion's okay because the fetus only has instrumental value. Can't take care of itself. Doesn't contribute to society. It needs its parents to survive. You know, all of that. It only has instrumental value. Apply that to seniors. My mom is 93 years old. She can't walk on her own, needs, you know, all kinds of help. We can still converse with her and talk with her and you know, be blessed by the things that are important to her and all that stuff. But to the culture and society, she's not contributing anything. She has no value from an instrumental standpoint. It'd be very easy to say, because she doesn't contribute to society, because there's nothing of value, because she really can't take care of herself outside of the home that she's in, she has no value to society, so it's okay to end her life. But the Bible talks about every person, regardless of category, age, disability, whatever, has intrinsic value. And that's a truth that we can't kind of take away. It has intrinsic value. And there's a tension there, isn't there? Okay, when it comes to the value of truth. Now, God himself has intrinsic value. That God himself is truth. Sometimes we treat God as instrumental value. God is only good when he answers my prayers, or when God, you know, I need him in the difficult seasons of life, that we can treat him like he has only instrumental value, that I can determine God's worth in my life based on what God does for me. But God has intrinsic value because he is God. And God is truth. Did I lose everybody?
No.
We're right there, aren't we? Okay? It's a whole different way to think. That there is something about truth that is intrinsic to what we need as human beings. Because of our intrinsic value, that's what brought Jesus into the world to die for us. Because of our intrinsic value, it is why it was necessary for Jesus to come and sacrifice himself in order that we could be made brand new. Because of our intrinsic value, the kingdom of God is rooted in the invitation for everyone to become part of the community in the kingdom of God. It doesn't categorize people as unworthy, outside of, not allowed, any of those kinds of things. That simple faith in Jesus Christ is an invitation to the kingdom of God because you have intrinsic value to God. No matter what you doubt, no matter what you feel like, no matter how you perceive the world around us, you need to know that no matter what, there is a God that loves you and a God that cares for who you are, knows everything about you because you have intrinsic value to God. Now, I know that's a bit heavy, but I want to kind of give you a question before, you know, I ask Jason to come up. I want to give you a question, kind of unpack it a little bit. Because this question's always kind of prodded my own spiritual journey, all right? And I'm going to explain it in a minute, and hopefully you understand where I'm coming from, okay? But here's a question that let me leave you with. If I look outside myself, what truth best protects and nurtures my soul? If I look outside myself, what truth best protects and nurtures my soul? Now, what I mean by when I look outside myself, you know, there are not what makes me feel good, not what's comfortable to me, not what everyone else in the family adheres to. But if I look at my soul, if I look at the very core of who I am as a human being, and I set outside all feelings, and I look at all the worldviews and the philosophies and the truths that are, you know, propagated by religions and things like that, what truth protects and nurtures my soul the most? See, a lot of times we feel good about certain things and accept a view of God or something because it's comfortable for us or it makes us feel good or it gives value to our lives or something like that. But I'm talking about deep within your soul, what truth best protects and nurtures your soul. Now, I've got to tell you, I can't imagine anything else other than Jesus doing that for you. I can't. Jesus talked really intimately about not just our intrinsic value, but what walking in faith with him gets us. It's the truth of being born again. It's the truth of being forgiven. It's the truth of being reconciled to God. It's the truth of being an adopted son and daughter. It's the truth of eternity forever with our Heavenly Father. That it took the questions of the soul and answered them in a very profound way. And Jesus communicated that so many times on so many levels. And I would argue, put aside what you feel and ask yourself what truth best nurtures and protects my soul. You see, nihilism doesn't do that. Nihilism says when you die, we're all gone and there's nothing afterwards, right? Stoic philosophy doesn't do that. Science doesn't protect and nurture our soul as much as we value science. They can't even answer things. Technically, really, about the soul. Okay? Does the ideology of just being good protect and nurture your soul? Because at the heart of it, that's what matters. And Jesus died for you so that your soul can be forever with God.
Amen. Thank you.
I think that's really powerful myself. I do. Okay? Because it goes back beyond, you know, doctrinal stuff and all, you know, but what nurtures and feeds our soul the most. And I think you can't get around what Jesus has done for each and every one of us when you contemplate that. Amen. Amen. Amen.